Warning. This podcast may contain discussions that some may find offensive or triggering. Listener discretion is advised.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Gavin Tucker Show, coming to you from your favorite banana republic at the very bottom of Africa. It is in South Africa. Welcome to the show. Great to have you along. If you're a first-time listener, you know what to do. Hit that follow button or subscribe so that you don't miss out on new episodes. And also, it gives me great pleasure to welcome back onto the show, Mr. Sean Daisle.
Good evening. Thank you.
How goes you, sir?
I goes very, very well. It's almost weekend.
It is, and almost the election time as well. I see we now officially have a date, 29th of May, 2024. Mm-hmm. South Africans will go to the poll and they will hopefully make the right decision.
Yeah, and if you've been under a rock, right, mm-hmm. You'll know you're coming up to election time when you're driving on the roads and you see, hey, it's been painted. The white lines. I mean, I was traveling on the R59 between Funabail Park and Vereeniging. Mm-hmm. The lines have been painted.
Yeah.
Freshly.
Potholes will be fixed.
Yeah.
They'll talk about doing things about crime, and we're going to mm-hmm. bring down crime. We're going to try and come from 85 murders a day down to 79 murders a day. So we'll still be killing you, but just not as many. Not as many. And it's an exciting time.
Are we going to root out corruption?
Oh, yeah. So that we've been hearing since, 1994?
Yeah. Instead of stealing 100 billion, they're going to steal...
We'll steal 99 billion. We'll leave you with 1 billion.
Yeah.
So I feel there's a bit of excitement in the air. Now, I was about, how old was I? I was 10 years old when South Africa became a democracy, the transition in 1994. I voted for the first time when I was obviously 18, which would have been, I don't think there was an election that year. But whichever that year was, is it 18 or 21 you have to be to vote? I can't remember.
18.
Now. 18, okay. So school kids can vote.
Yeah. Apparently, the biggest portion of South Africa's population, or very close to biggest, is the 18 to 35 bracket.
Those who know the least.
Yeah, those who know the least. And in South Africa currently, I think it's the least that have registered. So out of that percentages, that number, it's the least portion.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, I can't remember the exact stats, but it's a big portion of our population, 18 to 35. And of that portion, less than something like 10% has registered to vote.
Good grief. So I may be an optimistic idiot, and there's a very good chance that I am an optimistic idiot. But for some inexplicable reason, I've got this sort of feeling of excitement. Not anxiety, but an excitement inside of me.
You and the rest of South Africa.
And I'm thinking, you know, for the first time ever, South Africans have truly woken up. Because now, more than ever, more people are victims of crime. More people have been stolen from. They're seeing prices every time you go to the store, things cost more than they did the week before. Petrol's always on the up. And for the first time ever since the change of democracy, I feel that there's something good coming for South Africa. I really think that there's going to be a change of power. Now, you and I were having a chat off air just a couple of minutes ago and saying, even if it is the case, let's say that the ANC does get the hiding that the political pundits assume they will get, does it mean that change is going to come overnight? What would that transition look like from an ANC-led government to what I imagine would be a coalition government? So I don't think any party is going to win it outright. Some people think the DA will take it outright. I don't believe they will. I imagine there will be some sort of coalition, whether it's between Herman Mashaba, whether it's who's the other guy, Gayton McKenzie with his party, or whether it's with Musi Maimane's party, if there's a coalition there. But I do not see – look, I don't know, but I don't see the DA winning it outright.
So what you want to know is, will it work?
Will it work, and what would that transition look like? You see, because a lot of people imagine that once the votes have been counted, and if it is in fact true that the ANC is booted out of power, that they will magnanimously take their...
And next week, everything is perfect.
Yeah, so they're gone. You know, we'll be able to put the entire ANC in prison, be able to build a whole bunch of new jails for them, lock everybody up, and the country will become nirvana. But unfortunately, things don't work that way in reality.
My opinion as the couch expert is no. And then I'm speaking from past history. I know of a couple of municipalities that were ANC governed, and then all of a sudden they lost to a coalition. And, you know, the coalition came in and said, and everybody, you know, all of us are going, yes. Because, I mean, we've got, I think, two, three municipalities in South Africa that's run by the DA. One of them happens to be the Meyerton municipality, which is one of the most...
Midvale.
It is the most profitable municipality with clean audits over the last how many years.
True. They've never had a sketchy audit ever.
And Cape Town is the other one, the Cape District. Is it the Western Cape, right? That is fine because they've been there for 5, 6, 7 years. But if you look at Johannesburg, the coalition won that in the municipal elections. And there's another couple other municipalities that also took it by DA or coalition. But here's the problem. You take over a municipality, you're still sitting with ANC members. You're still sitting with all that workforce. So all that happens is they've got a new boss now. And when that new boss walks in and goes, okay, we're going to paint the roads. And they go, no money for paint. And the machinery is broken.
So is it then not as easy as just saying, well, look, we're going to fire you?
They're just going to stone roll you. Remember, they play the union game. They're just going to stone. Oh, yes, we do agree. But there's no money for tractors to cut the grass. There's no money for this. So you basically, whoever wins the country is going to walk in on a broken business. They're going to walk in to a supermarket that's got no infrastructure, that's got no money.
It's 100 billion rand in the red.
Yeah, there's no money to fix anything. Mm. You can't walk in and have the refrigerators picked in, bring in your marketing team, do a whole new store revamp. That's not going to happen.
I think the only thing that could work against that is if the DA, for example, came in and they did win, or at least they won via coalition with a decent – I'm not talking about with clowns like the EFF, but I'm talking about with somebody like Musi Maimane or Herman Mashaba or anyone of the other guys except the EFF. I think look, this is conjecture. This is only a guesswork on my part. I think we would see a massive influx of foreign investment in this country. And I think because people, especially in government, would be anticipating that what you've just described would happen.
Well, I hope so.
I think they will have made provision for that and said, well, look, you know, because these guys have stolen everything, they've fucked everything up. Because they've done that, we don't have the money right now to fix it. So we're either going to have to borrow money or we're going to have to get massive investment. And I would imagine if you and I, as normal people, not even in politics, know that, I'm sure they in politics.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, so they've got a backup plan for that, I would imagine, which would involve some form of foreign investment.
I'm going to take a business that everybody knows is in, besides SAA, besides Spurnet, besides Postnet, you know.
Transnet.
Yeah, Transnet, all the rest of it. Oh, sorry, Spurnet's the old name, yeah. Transnet. Let's talk Eskom. Eskom, let's say whatever coalition takes over. Eskom, the people who are defrauding Eskom right now, the people who are mismanaging Eskom right now will still be there. Because remember, it's not only higher up, it's right down. Mm. So to root out all that.
You're going to have to get rid of everybody.
You're going to have to start with a clean slate.
Yeah.
I mean, any businessman knows. Any business.
The fish rots from the head.
Oh, damn.
Every businessman knows.
Every businessman knows, right? When you buy a new business, you get rid of any dodgy stuff, even if it's a dodgy attitude.
And in Eskom's case, that's everybody.
Yeah, because you
from the doorman, from the doorman to the chief executive, everybody's going to go.
Because you need to start your business on your terms, your rules. Mm. And if people don't pick up on your rules, your
work ethic, yeah.
Exactly, within the first 6 months, you're gone. All of a sudden,
makes sense.
We're retrenching. And all they do is just retrench your post and they rename it something else 6 months down the line and rehire. So you're going to have to do that.
The other thing that I've wondered is, will the ANC vacate their position? So, look, I understand we're a democracy. By law, they have to. If they lose in a democratic election, you have to take your things and you have to fuck off. It's law. You have to.
Yeah.
But you see, because of all the millions of skeletons. I mean, if you look at the ANC is one big closet of skeletons. Now,
most governments really.
Sure, but the ANC probably more than most because there's never been accountability. They've never had to answer to anyone. People have been so complacent, so lackadaisical about corruption and money laundering. They just go on as if it's nothing. So because there are so many skeletons, there's so many things that can go wrong for these guys, especially if they're no longer steering the ship. If they're no longer captain of the ship And all these things come out. I mean, can you imagine? Can you just for a moment imagine the level of backstabbing and trotting on people that there's going to be? Because people then are going to be fighting for immunity.
Yeah.
And say, well, look, listen, I know, I only stole 4 billion, but this bastard here stole 12 billion.
Yep.
So if I rat him out, you'll at least, you know, give me a lesser sentence or something.
Yeah, if it comes to that, because, I mean, we had the Zondo Commission and all of us.
That was a big waste of money.
Exactly, including myself. I was going, finally, Cyril's doing the job. We got the Zondo Commission. We're going to find out who are the rotten apples in the basket, and we're going to kick them out and put them in prison and send the sheriff around and seize their assets and get some of the money back.
Well, credit to Raymond Zondo. We did find out who those people are. We just haven't been able to do anything about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're going to find out what those skeletons in the closet are, but then those people are still sitting in positions of power.
So if you think of yourself, if you were in the ANC at the moment, if you were a government member, and you knew that there's a good chance that your party is going to lose the election, either outright or through coalition, whatever the case might be, you're going to have to vacate these positions of power. With everything that they stand to lose, with all the closets that are going to be opened, and oh man, everything is going to come out of that. I imagine personally that these guys are going to fight tooth and nail to stay in position, yeah. Even if they've been voted out democratically.
Yeah, they're going to.
They're going to try and stay in, and of course it involves illegal activities. Of course. I mean,
but there's going to be court case on court case. It's going to drag out for years.
Yeah.
We're going to be paying 2 salaries for each position.
So somebody I mentioned this to not long ago said that it won't happen because South Africa is still a semi-decent and a semi-functional country. It's not like Zimbabwe, where if ZANU-PF lost an election, it means nothing to the country because Mnangagwa just carried on as did Mugabe before him. So those sorts of things, Zimbabwe is a country that's too far gone. Mm. South Africa is still a country that's still semi-relevant in the world. Nobody gives a shit about Zim. If 1 million people died in Zim tomorrow, it wouldn't even make the news on CNN because nobody cares about Zim anymore. It went from the breadbasket to the basket case and nobody gives a shit. Whereas South Africa is still semi-relevant. We still have sort of the memory of Madiba and the big South African dream and so on. So somebody said to me, for that very reason, the ANC would be forced out of power. And if they didn't go, not only would there be international pressure, but there might be international assistance to get them out.
Well, I don't know. You know, everybody's got that excitement, like you were saying, about the upcoming elections. And I'm always one for change. Change in everything. Change in paint color, change in whatever.
Change is as good as a holiday.
Exactly. So, and whatever the change is, we just fit in or F off. But I'm really scared. I must be honest. As a normal citizen of South Africa. Because first of all, at the moment, we know what we got with Cyril, all right? Who's there that can take over from him?
You know who I always said would have been the best president of the country? Was not Cyril, but was Kgalema Motlanthe, the former deputy president under
Zuma.
And the proverbial they say that he was actually offered the position before Cyril. And he said, no, being the president of this country is a poison chalice. There's nothing good can come from it.
That, yeah.
And I think, you know, because he was a guy with morals, he's got integrity, he's a smart guy. He's not one of these, Zuma was one of those idiots. You felt embarrassed every time he spoke. And you know that people across the world laughed every time they saw this moron try and read numbers.
It's like Biden currently.
Oh, God, another embarrassment. Whereas Kgalema Motlanthe he was the sort of guy who you look at him and you go, "Now that's a president. That's presidential material."
You see, I didn't delve that deep.
I liked him
with Mkhlema those years. It's only recently that I've been following, you know, and seeing the track record and everything else that goes with it. But yeah, I'm very concerned because of all these things. I like a clean change. Here's the new rules: fit in or F off. And this is how it's going to work. I don't like all these complications, you know, like you were talking about, which I know is going to happen. Let's say coalition comes into power. Now you've got to get rid of the old, bring in the new. Then it's 6 months down the line and you've still got somebody old in a position that's still trying to pull strings. And then not allowed to pull. Then there's another commission and there's another investigative committee. And all of this just costs money, and Eskom still produces no power. Transnet still not opened its rail lines. You've got a bankrupt post office that doesn't work anymore. And I think the only part of the post office that really works, Telkom, is their towers. I don't think any of the infrastructure of posting parcels or anything like that works anymore.
Yeah, they close like 3 out of 5 days anyway, half the time. So,
and
I think so anyway.
And there's a new government bank opening now. A government bank.
Okay.
Yes, it was put out the other day. I can't remember by who. They said they're opening up a bank that is government run. So I was watching a lot of material content on this, and there's guys coming out again, guys. Look what you've done to all these businesses.
So you're going to ask the jackal to look after the chickens while everybody sleeps, in other words.
Pretty much.
Oh God. As far as coalitions go, it can go positively or it can go negatively. Now, for example, a positive thing would be is if DA jumped into coalition with Action SA or Herman Mashaba or Musi Mamane or the Freedom Front, whichever. But now, I think the ANC will also feel pressure. In fact, not only feel pressure, but they'll feel forced to maintain power and have to team up with South Africa's third largest party, the EFF.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Julius and the ANC managed to bury the hatchet, the hate that they have between them, and they work? You've got the most racist, socialist, communist, dictatorial menaces on the planet with the most corrupt party. I mean, my God, can you imagine what a South Africa led by those two clown parties?
So there's my
like?
Biggest concern right there. And the other thing I want to bring out about the EFF, and I've always hoped that I'm going to be right in this. I've always hoped. What was the EFF based on? It was based on a disgruntled member
ANC
of the
people,
ANC.
Yeah. So that Julius and his crowd couldn't loot the same way that Jacob and them were.
Exactly. So
they formed their own little
They
thing.
Formed their own party. Yeah. And so how do you get members over to you? It's an old marketing trick. How did Americans get to go to war with countries? They just plead, they bombed us first. And they get the whole country behind them and say, right, let's spend billions. So what I'm hoping for, and I hope I'm really right with this, is that Julius, in his way, is not as bad as he makes out to be. He is just recruiting. So he would say what he says, and he does what he does to get the masses to stand behind him. Because
As a populist,
exactly that. And once he's got the masses, maybe when he comes into power, he will balance out and go, okay, you know what, guys? Now we're here. Let's fix it properly.
Don't you think that Julius's popularity is built on the fact that he's a rabid lunatic? If he wasn't standing on stage espousing all this sort of racist and hateful rhetoric, and he was talking sense and going, we need more,
yeah,
we need to bring
that,
private
but
sector.
But that would be boring.
But also, remember, a lot of people who are Julius Malema supporters are basically anarchists, whereas the ANC's, a lot of the ANC crowd are there because they still believe in the party. I don't think anybody believes in the EFF. They're just looking for a party that can stir and cause shit.
Yeah. I just, if I can put Julius in almost like a Howard Stern type of, if not compare them, but in the same type of thing, what did Howard Stern do in the late 80s, early 90s when he started a radio show?
Yeah.
He went against all the rules. If the station manager said, you will not do this, that's exactly what he did. You will not be vulgar and sexual and whatever, that's exactly what he did. So what happened? He got one of the biggest followings ever, and he's still today regarded as one of the biggest in broadcasting history when it comes to listeners.
The problem is a guy like Julius, who's been advocating for land theft and he's been advocating for genocide and he's been advocating for all these things, I don't see how you can make a turnaround from those. Like, how do you recover in the public image from saying those sorts of things?
And I'm being very optimistic here. I'm hoping if it ever should happen, he would go, okay, guys, you know what? In my political campaign over the years, this is what I said about land repropriation. This is what I said, but hang on, we got to do it fair. So we're going to expropriate the land. Okay. Tell me which spot of land was your ancestors and whatever. And let's sort it out. And then, you know, go the amicable way about it. And then 10 years down the line, okay, they've all forgotten about it. You know, have a nice day. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm totally being unrealistic And there's a lot of people listening right now say, geez, what an idiot. And you may be right, but I'm trying to be positive about it. I'm hopefully, because he is a power to be reckoned with. He is a power to be reckoned with. So I'm, me personally, I'm hoping for that side of him. Nobody, none of us have seen.
You know what? I've always said to people, and they've
because he's not stupid.
Me.
He's quite clever.
No, he's not stupid at all.
He knows his stuff.
If Julius was just advocating for the right things in this country, he could be. And I know a lot of people are going to say this guy is an absolute lunatic. Julius could be a good leader. I promise you he could be if only he advocated for the right things.
Yeah, but I think
he's a great public speaker. He knows how to rally people, how to get them standing up. Like it or not, Julius was a massive proponent in the Zuma Must Fall campaign. Yeah. He basically, look, nothing, 783 charges of corruption and racketeering and money laundering didn't faze Zuma at all. But Julius was such a thorn in his bloody side. He's the reason that Zuma didn't sleep properly at night.
So, yeah, I'm getting back to that. And hopefully, if he does come into power in any shape, way, or form, that he brings out that side to say, okay, you know, we're here now. The things I said, yes, I still believe in them, but there's a way to do it. Let's do it the right way, but let's get this country back on track.
Let me tell you something that's going to shock you, actually. I know somebody who – I shan't mention names, but I know somebody who knows Julius and says he's actually a really nice guy.
I wouldn't be.
They said in person he's actually a really nice guy. Well, and this comes from a person that I know very well.
Now, here's my thing. We know of a lot of, I'm going to go back to radio DJs and TV personalities.
Yeah.
That people say, oh, what an idiot. He's so rude and bombastic and he's a feminist and a chauvinist and, yeah, and a what. And actually, he's the nicest person on earth, but because that is his on-air persona. He is hired to produce a show that will get listeners. And I'm hoping that is Julius's recruitment persona. So when he gets into a position of power, he goes back to what he's supposed to be. Because I've heard, not firsthand, but I've also heard, he's very intelligent, very calm, and actually very reasonable. But he knows, and that's what makes him so clever. If he was a marketer, if he worked for an ad agency, he'd be making millions. Mm. Well, he is making billions right now. But I mean,
except SARS doesn't know about that.
Because he knows exactly what the masses want. Exactly.
No, he does.
And if you go over to Europe right now and you go over to wherever, people are doing exactly the same thing. You know, with all these illegal immigrations and what's happening in Europe now with all the, what are you calling it, people coming in, the refugees and all that, you know, companies opened their borders and said, we welcome refugees. Mm. Now it's becoming a huge problem.
Yeah.
So now people are standing up.
Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, France, they're going, oh, fuck, so now, what do we do now?
Now the people that opened the gates, now they need, so now all the people are just going, there's one clever guy that stands up and goes, we're bringing in this. Look what they're doing. And everybody, oh, look what they're doing. Now the masses are starting to talk. And that's exactly Julius's way.
The other thing to consider, the only thing I believe that Julius likes more than power is money. And I think if Julius came into a powerful position and people from abroad managed to somehow use dollars and pounds to get him to do the right thing. Look, I mean, he's no stranger. I mean, he's been to the UK a couple of times looking for money and finances and so on. And I think if he went there and he was there with the intention of doing, well, of being persuaded, let's say, I think he could be persuaded to do the right thing. But right now, look, I'm not going to.
Look, I'm not in favor of him.
No, I'm no.
I'm just, what I'm saying is, and I hope for whoever wins, that whoever wins this election really, really, really has this country in at top of mind and wants to do the right thing.
One of two things is going to happen at the end of this election. Either we're going to see mass emigration, people leaving the country, or we're going to see lots of people returning back.
Yeah.
Mark my words, today, 22nd of Feb, we're going to see that either we're going to see the people signing up to emigrate is going to go through the roof, or people are going to come. But I don't think it's going to just – I think one of the two is going
to
happen.
Yeah, so we're going to have to see what it is. But I, if you have registered, please go and vote. Vote for the party you think. This is not a political show, by the way, and I am certainly not qualified to give any political advice. I'm purely just an armchair expert. I'm like everybody out there. I only see and hear what I see on propaganda TV on all the sides. But these are my personal feelings. And I don't want to live in a shithole anymore.
Yeah, we'd like. It would be good to start the show without saying your favorite Banana Republic.
Yeah.
We'd like to go back to being something decent. But anyway, that's been the episode. What do you think about South African politics? As the analytics of the show demonstrate, the majority of the people who listen to the show are based in the US. Obviously, your country's politics would take precedence over ours. But is there any interest in America, especially since South Africa and Israel had their thing at the ICJ and the ANC has put itself on the world map after it took Israel to the International Court of Justice? Is there any interest in South African politics now that we've kind of thrown our hat in the political ring, so to speak? And what do you think is going to be the outcome if you are a person living abroad? Do you think that we as South Africans are being delusional for thinking that the DA has a snowball's hope in hell?
And no, we don't. We don't walk with lions in streets.
I wish we did. It would make life way more fun. Or do you think that we're going to see the current trend, or the trend that's been so for the last 30 years, where the ANC takes the election? What do you think? Gavin at gavintucker.com. Before we end the show, just a reminder, you can find both of us on social media. Sean is on TikTok, as well as Facebook and Instagram, at Sean Daisel, D-E-Y-S-E-L.
And Sean spelled with a W.
And an H, yeah. S-H-A-W-N. And you can find me, Gavin at gavintucker.com, and on Instagram. Till next week, ciao, ciao.